So vulnerable and unprotected, Jesus has deliberately chosen a triumphal ride into Jerusalem. The people cheer. The authorities are alarmed. What could possibly go wrong? We pick up the story in our gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And we pick it up at the supper. Jesus took his place at table and the apostles with him. He said, I have ardently longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, because I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Taking a cup, he gave thanks. Take this, share it among you, because from now on I tell you, I shall never again drink wine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He did the same with the cup after supper. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you. But look, here with me on the table is the hand of the man who is betraying me. The Son of Man is indeed on the path which was decreed, but alas for that man by whom he is betrayed. They began to ask one another, which of them could it be? An argument also began about who should be reckoned the greatest. He said to them, among the Gentiles, it is the kings who lord it over them. Those who have authority over them are given the title benefactor. With you, this must not be so. No, the greatest among you must behave as if he were the youngest. The leader as if he were the one who serves. Who's the greater? The one at table or the one who serves? The one at table, surely. Yet here am I among you as one who serves. You are the men who have stood by me faithfully in my trials, and now I confer a kingdom on you. Just as my Father conferred a kingdom on me, you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But Peter's denial and repentance foretold. Simon, Simon, look, Satan has got his wish to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and once you have recovered, you in your turn must strengthen your brothers. Lord, I'd be ready to go to prison with you and to death. Jesus replied, I tell you, Peter, by the time the cock crows today, you will have denied 3 times that you know me. When I sent you without purse or haversack or sandals, were you short of anything? No, nothing. But now, if you have a purse, take it. And the same with the haversack. If you have no sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Because I tell you, these words of scripture are destined to be fulfilled in me. He was counted as one of the rebellious. Yes, what it says about me is even now reaching its fulfillment. They said, Lord, here are 2 swords. That's enough. The Mount of Olives. He left to make his way as usual to the Mount of Olives with the disciples following. When he reached the place, he said, pray not to be put to the test. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. An angel appeared coming from heaven to give him strength. In his anguish, he prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. He went to the disciples and found them sleeping. Why are you asleep? Get up and pray not to be put to the test. Suddenly a number of men appeared, and at the head of them, the man called Judas, one of the 12, who went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? His followers, seeing what was about to happen, said, Lord, shall we use our swords? And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Jesus said, that's enough. And touching the man's ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple guard and elders who had come for him, am I a bandit that you have to set out with swords and clubs? When I was among you in the temple day after day, you never made a move to lay hands on me. But this is your hour. This is the reign of darkness. Peter's denials. They seized him and led him away, and they took him to the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. They had lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and Peter sat down. As he was sitting there by the blaze, a servant girl saw him, peered at him, and said, "This man was with him too." "Woman, I don't know him," he said. Shortly afterwards, somebody else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." Peter replied, I'm not, my friend." About an hour later, another man insisted, saying, "This fellow was certainly with him. Why, he's a Galilean." Peter said, "My friend, I don't know what you're talking about." At that instant, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Peter remembered the Lord's words, "Before the cock crows, today you will have disowned me 3 times. He went outside and wept bitterly. Jesus mocked. Meanwhile, the men who guarded Jesus were mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying, "Prophesy, who hit you then?" And they heaped many other insults on him. When day broke, there was a meeting of the elders of the people, the chief priests, and the scribes. He was brought before their council. They said to him, "If you're the Christ, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, So you are the Son of God then?" He answered, "It's you who say I am." And then they said, "Why do we need any evidence? We've heard it for ourselves from his own lips." The whole assembly rose and they brought him before Pilate. They began their accusations by saying, "We found this man inciting our people to revolt, opposing payment of the tribute to Caesar, and claiming to be Christ, a king." Pilate put to him this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He replied, "It's you who say it." Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no case against this man." But they persisted. "He is inflaming the people with his teaching all over Judea, and all the way from Galilee, where he started, down to here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And finding that he came under Herod's jurisdiction, he passed him over to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was delighted to see Jesus. He had heard about him. He'd been wanting for a long time to set eyes on him. Moreover, he was hoping to see some miracle worked by him. So he questioned him at some length, but without getting any reply. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the scribes were there vigorously pressing their accusations. Then Herod, together with his guards, treated him with contempt, made fun of him, put a rich cloak on him, and sent him back to Pilate. Though Herod and Pilate had been enemies before, they were reconciled that day. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the leading men and the people. He said to them, "You brought this man before me as a popular agitator. Now I have gone into the matter myself in your presence and found no grounds in the man for any of these charges, any of the charges that you bring against him. Nor has Herod either, since he sent him back to me. As you can see, the man has done nothing that deserves death. So I'll have him flogged and set him free." But as one man, they howled, "Away with him! Give us Barabbas!" This man had been thrown into prison because of a riot and murder. In his desire to set Jesus free, Pilate addressed them again. But they shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them. "But what harm has this man done? I have found no case against him that deserves death. So I'll have him flogged and set him free." But they kept on shouting at the top of their voices, demanding that he should be crucified. And their shouts kept growing louder. Pilate gave his verdict. Their demand was to be granted. He released the man they asked for, who had been imprisoned because of rioting and murder, and handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they pleased. The way to Calvary. As they were leading him away, they seized on a man, Simon from Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and made him shoulder the cross and carry it behind Jesus. Large numbers of people followed him, and women too, who mourned and lamented for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and for your children. For look, the days are surely coming when people will say, 'Blessed are those who are barren, the wombs that have never borne children, the breasts that have never suckled.' They will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if this is what is done to green wood, what will be done when the wood is dry? Now, they were also leading out two others, criminals, to be executed with him.
When they reached the place called the Skull,
they crucified him there, and the two criminals also, one on the right, the other on the left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, They do not know what they are doing. Then they cast lots to share out his clothing. The people stayed there watching him. As for the leaders, they jeered at him. "Ha! He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too, and when they approached to offer him vinegar, they said, "Ha! If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription: "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there abused him. "Are you not the Christ?" he said. "Save yourself and us as well." But the other spoke up and rebuked him. "Have you no fear of God at all?" he said. "You got the same sentence as he did, but in our case, we deserved it. We are paying for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Jesus said, "Remember me." "Jesus," he said to him, "remember me when you come into your kingdom." "Indeed, I promise you," he replied, "today you will be with me in paradise." It was about the sixth hour, and with the sun eclipsed, a darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The veil of the temple was torn right down the middle. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With these words, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he gave praise to God and said, "This was a great and good man." And when all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they went home beating their breasts. All his friends stood at a distance. So also did the women who had accompanied him from Galilee. And they saw all this happen. Then a member of the council arrived, an upright and virtuous man named Joseph. He had not consented to what the others had planned and carried out. He came from Arimathea, a Jewish town, and he lived in the hope of seeing the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in a shroud, and put it in a tomb, which was hewn in stone, in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was imminent.
Meanwhile, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus were following behind. They took note of the tomb and how the body had been laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day they rested, as the law required. This is the gospel of the Lord.